are going to talk about Wisconsin possibly changing high-capacity well regulations and talk about why so many 17-year-olds voted in last April's presidential primary election. And after 7:30, we will also talk about reforming occupational licensing requirements in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March 20th. First, we will welcome in our State Capitol reporter, who will recap some of the top stories in state government. And then we'll welcome in a guest who co-authored a recent report on the occupational licensing reform. And we will welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me welcome Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio, State Capitol Reporter. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, so we had a hearing on these proposed changes to high-capacity well regulations in Wisconsin, and it drew a significant crowd to the state capitol last week.
It did. It did. The committee room was actually overflowing. We had a pretty large committee room dedicated for this bill, and folks were lined up out into the hallways adjacent to the committee room by 9 a.m.
Let's just kind of break this down. What is a high-capacity well?
Well, a high-capacity well is often used by kind of large-scale agricultural industry, so big dairy farms, big vegetable farms. They can pump more than 70 gallons of water in a minute or more than 100,000 gallons in a day.
So what would this bill do?
Well, this particular bill and high-capacity well legislation has been around in the Capitol for years. This is something that lawmakers have been debating with some contentious debate, pretty heated debate for a while. But this particular bill would allow owners of existing wells to repair or replace them without getting a new permit to do so.
Yeah. And why do they think that? Why is this change considered necessary from proponents?
Well, proponents are arguing that this really protects landowners' rights, that it preserves property values, and it provides stability to industry. Because a lot of folks in industry that utilize these wells, like those farms, argue that their farms couldn't continue to exist if they weren't able to continue using these wells and counting on their well being licensed and legal, into the future without the state refusing to reauthorize it, say, if they need a repair or something like that.
Yeah. So, well, why do opponents think that there should be another permit just to repair a well?
Well, opponents are saying that this would be the only thing in Wisconsin that would have kind of a license in perpetuity, they're calling it. And they're saying that if these wells are allowed to exist in that way, that it would deplete the state's groundwater and have a really negative effect on the environment in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So what happened at the hearing?
Well, we had dozens of folks testifying on either side of the issue. We had quite a few farmers talking about that point that I mentioned before, that their farms wouldn't be able to exist if they didn't have these wells and couldn't continue to, you know, repair their wells or build a new one if it fell into disrepair, because some folks have had these wells for decades, so they might need to replace one. We had actually one farmer, I have a clip from a potato farmer from Anago. His name is Robert Gettner, and he talked a little bit about how he rationalizes this debate.
Seems to me that to require a person to make a new application just to repair a well would be like asking a car owner to apply for a new automobile registration when he needs to repair or replace the radiator in his car.
Well, I guess that brings it home to some extent.
Yeah.
But again, the supporters are saying if a well that needs to be repaired isn't checked over, that it could mean what, environmental problems or groundwater problems?
Right. So opponents to this particular change are arguing that these wells because they can pump so much water, again, I mean, 70 gallons of water in a minute, just try to imagine that for a second. They say that they can actually see the effect on lakes and rivers in their area when they know a high capacity well is pumping. So someone else that testified at the hearing, her name was Christy Greening. She's a board member of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, and she also spoke just kind of as a citizen. This is what she had to say about the effects that she says she can see.
When the high-capacity wells kick on across the Portage County line, which is about a half mile down the road, within 24 hours, I can see the difference in the 10-mile creek in my backyard.
So a lot of folks are making that argument that, you know, if these wells can continue to exist without the DNR reviewing their... A term that's been used in this debate is cumulative impact. So the effect that the well has on the groundwater over a specific area in conjunction with other wells that are in that area. If that sort of thing isn't reviewed year over year to re-permit these wells, that they could continue to deplete things like the river that Christy was talking about or lakes. And the argument, too, kind of extends beyond just there's a creek in my backyard, or there's a lake that our family lake house is on. A lot of folks are also talking about how this could potentially affect Wisconsin's tourism industry. If lakes and rivers are depleted, people might not be vacationing in Wisconsin as much. So then the argument kind of becomes less of industry versus environment. It becomes a little bit more industry versus industry, which is an example of just one example, really, of why this bill is so interesting and has been so contentious.
So do you have any questions about this bill that would change the way high-capacity well regulations work in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Should Wisconsin change the way it regulates high-capacity wells in Wisconsin? So, Laurel, what happens to this bill now?
Well, this bill is sponsored in the Senate by Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. So he actually had some kind of interesting things to say at the hearing. Usually the sponsor of the bill testifies first. So I'll just share briefly his argument as the sponsor. He said, for a small farm or business that goes through the time and expense to get a permit, they need certainty that they will be able to operate under that permit. They also need the ability to maintain these wells without the fear that doing so will trigger new costly permitting. So he talks a little bit about the cost of getting these well permits. And then he also directly addressed the argument of opponents. He said, I don't want any lakes to dry up. I don't want any streams to dry up. But I'm also not going to hamstring an industry that's the backbone of this state. So talking a little bit about the agricultural industry there, obviously.
So with the Senate Majority Leader being the primary sponsor of this bill, that sounds like a change is on the way.
Yes, that gives it a little bit of extra oomph. And we get a little bit more insight into when that bill might come up on the floor of the Senate to get a full vote from all lawmakers in the Senate. And very helpfully, Senator Fitzgerald tipped his hat and told us when that might be. And he said, actually, as early as next month, so April, we could be expecting this on the Senate floor.
But as you mentioned, this has come up before. And I think you mentioned that the Senate passed this bill last year, but it did not pass in the Assembly. So what was the holdup in the Assembly?
That's right. Well, this gets kind of complicated. So what passed the Senate was an identical version of this bill. So the exact same bill passed the Senate last session, right toward the end of session. I think it was in February. But then the bill, the same bill, went to the Assembly and was debated there. And what happened in the Assembly was folks added an amendment to it. And I believe that amendment had to do with some groundwater studies, requiring groundwater studies in the Central Sands region of Wisconsin, where there have been a lot of contentious back and forth kind of debates between the agricultural industry and environmental groups, because in the Central Sands, the groundwater is a particularly important issue. So they added that amendment in the Assembly, passed the Assembly, but the Senate never took up that version of the bill. So that's kind of a situation where if the two chambers aren't able to agree on something, it can't go to the governor. So that was the state of high-capacity wells at the end of last session.
Yeah. Well, we we have a lot of callers who want to ask about this, but we only have about a minute before news. So, Sean and Madison, maybe very briefly.
Yes, I'm curious how this bill would affect golf courses in regards to high capacity. The volume that they're pulling out to irrigate the golf courses is much larger than any ag.
So this is just, and we have just a minute, Laurel, this is just high-capacity wells on farms?
I think it would be any high-capacity well. So high-capacity wells are used by a variety of industries. That would include golf courses, I imagine. That's not something that I had heard mentioned before. But if they have a well, it's already permitted, this legislation would apply to them, too.
And it would say that if it needs repair or something else that
or
you don't
replacement.
Have to, or replacement, you don't have to go through the permitting process again.
That's right.
Yeah. So... yeah, so anyway, we will maybe see this coming up next month in the state legislature for final approval, possibly.
Yep, we'll be looking out for it.
Yep, and we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will talk about 17-year-olds voting in Wisconsin. That's coming up next. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Laurel White. She is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. And we are talking about some of the big news in Wisconsin in the past week. We will turn our attention now to the news that dozens of 17-year-olds in Wisconsin voted illegally in last April's presidential primary election. And we'll find out why authorities think this happened and what's going to happen to these 17-year-olds. And is there any chance that Wisconsin would change its law and allow 17-year-olds to vote in a presidential primary if they are going to be 18 during the general election, the presidential election? Right now, that is not legal in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. What do you think? Laurel, what is the story here? 17-year-olds, a bunch of them, voted illegally in last April's presidential primary. Who says and how many?
Well, this came out last week because the State Elections Commission prepared a report to the state legislature. Regularly, local elections officials have to report any cases of voter fraud to the Elections Commission, and then by law, the Elections Commission then passes that along to the legislature. So we got that report on Monday of last week, a week ago today, and the report said that about 70 17-year-olds voted illegally in Wisconsin in the April presidential primary. We don't have an exact number because some counties, instead of saying 7 17-year-olds or 9 17-year-olds just said multiple. So not incredibly helpful in terms of pinpointing an exact number, but we know that it was about 70 that went to the polls in April and were able to cast a ballot even though they're only 17.
All right. So lots to talk about here, but this is a felony. I didn't know that.
It is. It's a class one felony, which is punishable by up to a year and a half in prison, 2 years of extended supervision, or a fine of up to $10,000, or a combination of all of those things. So, and obviously a felony on your record. So it's a pretty serious infraction there.
But if a 17-year-old says, you know what, I just know some states have this law. I thought Wisconsin had this law that said I could vote. I didn't know. Are we prosecuting these 17-year-olds?
Well, so what happens here is the local elections official refers the case to the appropriate district attorney in their area, and then the district attorney decides whether or not they're going to prosecute the case. So it's really a case-by-case basis in terms of voter and county. So we have had some reporting over the course of the last week where reporters called these local district attorneys to ask, hey, what are you going to do about these 17-year-olds? So we've gotten a variety of responses. The Wisconsin State Journal reported last week that the Kewaunee County District Attorney said he's not going to charge any of the 17-year-olds who voted illegally in his county. He says he honestly thinks that they thought they were eligible to vote and didn't think they were breaking the law. That's the same in Brown County. He said that he's not going to prosecute any of the 17-year-olds that voted there. In a slightly different reaction, we've got the Dane County District Attorney, Ishmael Ozan, and there were seven 17-year-olds that voted illegally in Dane County, and he says four of those have deals for deferred prosecution, so that's kind of community service, things like that. But three of those, he says, remain under investigation, and this is, again, from Wisconsin State Journal reporting. And so Ozan, interestingly, he said, we take these cases very seriously. The information on voter registration forms. The information that is given to all people is pretty clear. So,
yeah, So the form that you, it's been a while since I registered, but the form when you register specifically says you must be 18.
That's right.
And so he's saying that if a 17-year-old registered, that 17-year-old should know full and well that they're not 18.
Mm-hmm. I think that's his argument.
Yeah. But what about, what about a poll worker or an election official? Why would you even accept a registration from a 17-year-old? Or why, once you get to the poll and you look at a license, would you let a 17-year-old vote?
Well, I interviewed the spokesman for the State Elections Commission last week, and he said poll workers are humans and humans make mistakes. And they're openly saying that this was, about 70 cases of mistakes by poll workers that just failed to check the IDs, to check the birth dates, and make sure that everybody casting a ballot was indeed 18 years old.
I can see that when you show your ID, that they're looking to make sure that the name and the face match, and maybe not necessarily that the birth date is that you're an 18-year-old, but...
Right. And the spokesman for the State Elections Commission said this really wasn't a problem that they had ever had before. This didn't happen in the 2008 presidential election. It didn't happen in 2012. So it wasn't something that poll workers were necessarily keeping an eye out for.
So why did it happen this year?
Well, they have a couple of theories. They say that it could be because of some social media campaigning by some presidential campaigns, particularly the Bernie Sanders campaign, I guess, had some messaging about being a 17-year-old voter. Because some states do allow 17-year-olds to vote. If you're going to be 18 by the general election, you can cast your ballot in the primary and then, of course, vote in the general election. So the Sanders campaign had some social media messages out about that to encourage younger voters to go to the polls. And because of the nature of social media, those posts can cross state lines. A Wisconsin 17-year-old could have seen that was meant for someone else in another state and get confused and head on out to the polls in April.
We have a caller, Marilyn in Vaulton. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, I was going to just say that same thing. I think the onus on that should be at least more on the poll worker than on the voter, especially on a 17-year-old. If they didn't catch it, why would you criminalize the voter? it really doesn't make sense at all, so I certainly hope that doesn't go anywhere. Can I say one thing about high-capacity wells?
Well, very briefly, since you said I don't want to be cutting you off, but we're not there.
Yeah, the people that live around high-capacity wells are the ones that want this to be checked every once or renewed every once in a while, because if your well water goes down and the lake that you live on goes down or whatever, then that should be checked. So that's why there was a 5-year renewal process, not just because, we wanted to give farmers a hard time. So that's all.
Good point. Thank you very much, Marilyn, for making it. But back to the 17-year-old issue. She actually wondered if there were fake IDs being presented, but no, there's no evidence of that.
No, we think that the 17-year-olds were presenting their actual IDs. We don't have any reason to believe they were using fake IDs. We think it was just the poll workers weren't checking that birth date. And that's something that the head of the State Elections Commission, Mark Thompson, has directly addressed in the wake of this. He said, we're gonna work with poll workers to make sure that they're more vigilant about checking the birth dates in the future. They say that they've learned from this experience. But they also say that they're not really expecting this to happen again. They think it was kind of an isolated incident because of those social media posts that I mentioned before and maybe some news articles about that. They don't expect this to crop up again, I don't think.
Any idea? Is anybody proposing, presumably, Is anybody proposing that Wisconsin join those states that allow 17-year-olds to vote in the primary if they the person is going to be 18 by election day?
I have not heard of anyone advancing legislation. I know that a number of states do allow that, but I haven't heard of any push to make Wisconsin one of those states.
Yeah. Bob in Woodruff, we won't be able to get his call on, but he said if a 17-year-old is old enough to vote, they're old enough to know the law. But then again, the 17-year-old is not old enough to vote.
Right.
and so what about what's coming up this week at the state capitol? What do we know?
Well, we've got some hearings on different bills making their way through the legislature. Nothing incredibly high profile as of right now, but we're looking forward to next week because next week we're going to start getting some hearings from the Joint Finance Committee on the budget. And that's really going to kick off the high intensity budget season next week.
And we'll have to be doing, I think, weekly budget updates here on the State Capitol Report. Thanks, Laurel, for being with us.
Absolutely.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter.